Imagine a world where you are me and I'm you, and you run the greatest podcast in all the world, and I'm sitting there like a piece of pile of fucking pussy shit just listening and finger blasting myself. Now, imagine you're you and you get to listen to The Biscuit! You fucking pieces of shit. We're back, baby. We're back. Still OG fucking two iPodding it. Suck a dick. Oh, the Rolling Rocks are cold. My boner is not. This week on The Biscuit. Obviously, we're going to talk about the fucking trade deadline. I'd be remiss if I didn't. Except it's going to be the only talk you want to hear, because the rest of the shit is dog shit. But before, there's a few things I want to hit on. One is, if you guys haven't pre-ordered your copy of Ice Guardians on iTunes yet, either do that or kill yourself. Those are your two options. I'm going to have a read for you guys here. I got in contact with the creators of the film, and we're preparing something to read. It's just not finished yet, so go get that. It's like $14.99. I think it officially releases on March 7th, but I think pre-orders help them for whatever. You know how that dog shit works. But it's an important film about the role of the Enforcer in the NHL, and it looks very well done. I haven't seen it myself. I'm pre-ordered up. I'm very excited to see it. So if anybody wants to come over and watch it with me, don't, because I do not enjoy your company, and I do not enjoy visitors. But good. Ice Guardians. iTunes Store. Pre-order it. Do it now. But I got a little Stadium Series jerk fest. Oh, Gary Bettman and the NHL are trying to say that Pittsburgh set up all those fireworks. But I think they are a symbolism for how many fucking loads Bettman blew watching Sidney Crosby that night in his fucking pants. And I believe he eats said fucking load and pretends it's Sidney's load in his mouth. I love the outdoor games. I'm glad that the weather worked out for Pittsburgh and their fans and Philly and the trash there. It looked like the ice was fine. They said it was windy, but I didn't really. The game was shit, but those games are always kind of shit. I just like the whole spectacle of the thing. You know, it's just so 2017. Fireworks everywhere. Styx was playing. Train fucking played. What's that fucking... Dude, you're pushing 50. Have to be. And you're singing some very creepy fucking... Oh, how's it go? Fucking... Play the song, DJ. Play it all night long. I wanna touch this little kid's dong, because I'm a child molester. Oh shit, that can't be going off. Silence. Silence. Sorry, unprofessional. Hey, it's happened on fucking Rogan. It can happen on The Biscuit. Yeah, Train played. Way to go, NHL. So if NHL didn't do the fireworks, then the NHL didn't... Is Train from Pittsburgh? You tell me. I don't know. Don't fucking care. The sweaters were sick. That orange nameplate on the fucking Philly unis with the black. That's some grade A fucking shit there. And even Pittsburgh's fucking... If I was a Pittsburgh's fan... If I was a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, I would take the money and I would buy that jersey. Speaking of buying jerseys, I did a bad thing. I ordered a bootleg jersey from China. I learned my lesson. I'll never do it again. I don't think I'm going to see this one. I've got no tracking number. 2 days after I ordered it, someone tried to spend like $600 on my card, so my card got shut down. And they had to fucking shut my account down, resend my goddamn card, so I haven't been able to spend money in like 4 days. It's been terrible. But I wanted a fucking Bjorkstrand third jersey, and it was the only way to do it. I learned my lesson, though. I'll never do it again. I'm sorry, hockey gods. Don't buy bootleg shit. It's not worth it. You'll end up like me. Now I'm out $130, where I could have just shoveled forth the other fucking $70 and got the Bobrovsky, which was... It's a birthday present for me. I had the choice. We could go to the store and get the fucking official, or I could order the Bjorkstrand. And I wanted the Bjorkstrand, so I did it. Now I'm a fuck. Happy birthday, Cody. Happy 30 years on this fucking planet. You get nothing. No, I got a really sick fucking make hockey violent hat from the Violent Gentleman boys there. So thank you for that, guys. And I got some Blue Jacket fucking onesie, complete onesie, ass flap pajamas, which I absolutely love. And after I wore them, I had diarrhea for 5 days. So that was neat. What else about the stadium series? PETA got all fired up because the penguins, they had live penguins there on a little mini rink, which was adorable. Just another cool feature, but the penguins got spooked at the fireworks, which, you know, humans, it happens too. Anyway, so PETA's all up and, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. I couldn't fucking pour milk on my pubes for days. Oh. And then, so the zoo people, the Pittsburgh Zoo people ended up saying, you know, the penguins are used to giant crowds because they see, you know, thousands of people every day their whole life. And they're used to loud noises. It spooked them. It's whatever. Let's get over it. Maybe have a human tank next to the Pittsburgh people so that it's equal. Then you have to have a trans fucking rink too, or trans penguins rink. Don't fucking watch hockey games if you like PETA. If you're in PETA, don't watch anything. Go fucking save an animal. What are you doing on Twitter? Not helping anybody. Every time you tweet, a bird dies. I wanted to talk about Colin Miller getting ejected for his hit on Burmistrov. He came into the zone with his head down, looking at the puck, not looking at the people around him, and Miller gave him a fucking bah! Right to his fucking chin. Not even his chin, just fucking laid him clean out. It was a brutal fucking hit, but like I've said before, it's a brutal sport. And they kicked him the fuck out of the game, which I thought was unnecessary. I think it hurts Miller as a player, makes him look like a fucking thug. And he's not. It was a fucking big hit. I'm pretty sure Burmistrov is okay. So that helps the situation out. But he's not dirty. It wasn't a dirty hit. I think the ejection was falsely enforced, and I think the NHL owes him an apology. And ask Patrick Laine what happens when you skate into a fucking zone with your head down. You get knocked the fuck out. So professional hockey players, they're waiting for you to fucking look at that puck, dude. You kidding me? He's probably foaming at the mouth getting ready to fucking knock his block off. Did it. I'm sure he didn't fucking come or anything, but it's a fucking good hockey hit. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry. Ooh, official Vegas. They're real. 31st team in the NHL. Just the Vegas Golden Knights, not the Las Vegas Golden Knights or the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. The Vegas Knights. So what's this mean? We all knew they were going to be a team. They can actually sign players now. And talk with teams about trading players. I heard it was something like they're either second to third last on the list to pick up waived players from now on. So they might end up picking some players up here. I don't know. It's exciting. Them being a real team is definitely going to impact the trade deadline. It did impact the trade deadline for sure. Look at old Ben Bishop. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was Ho-Jung for the New York Islanders. It wears number 66, and people are fucking pissed off about it. Because Mario Lemieux, it's been a while since a fucking biscuit fart, dude. Gotcha. 10 minutes and 51 seconds in, if you want to tell your friends, first fart. It's not Gretzky, it's not Howe. 66 isn't retired for the whole league. He's not fucking, what's that black dude? Jackie Robinson. Get over it, dude. He plays for the fucking Islanders. Who gives a shit? It's a fucking number. Go fuck yourself, Pittsburgh. Go fuck yourself. Well, I was going to get into the trade deadline stuff now, but I think I'm going to try to get my special guest in now, and then I'm going to go back. So, let me try to... Again, I had to do this fucking all haggity-waggity style here. So let's see here. But my guest is Mr. Scott Hyatt. And if you don't know Scott Hyatt, you're a fucking moron. Let's see here. Call? I've used Skyped one time to do the fucking... The shoutcast for the Chicago dudes. Come on, Scotty. What's up, man? Scotty! Good, can you hear me? Yeah, let me get this fucking speaker on, dude. Hold up, I'm fucking technologically retarded. Give me one, say something. Scott.
Hello?
Scott, you're on the biscuit, baby!
What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, dude. Fucking sitting out in my studio, drinking beers by myself.
Sorry, you cut out for a second. What are you doing?
I'm sitting out in my studio drinking beers, talking to two fucking iPods.
Fantastic. Are you watching the Jackets game at all?
I've got it paused right now, recording, because I was doing a little fucking research for the episode, so don't tell me the score. Am I going to be happy, though?
Yeah, right now you are.
Woo! Good news. So, Scott, just to introduce you, you are Scott Hyatt, correct, sir?
That is correct.
You play in 93 bands, correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, so what fucking the internet and my brain could figure out is Bridesmaid for sure.
Yeah.
Akula, which is newer.
Oh, yeah.
That one has the drummer of 93 bands, drummer of Artillery Breath, Ronnie Miller in it as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best.
And then fucking, the guy from Lopan? That's like a super group.
Yeah, it's two guys from Lopan now. Chris, our guitar player, also plays guitar in Lopan, so.
Oh, shit. That singer, dude, he can belt that shit out. I watched that YouTube video. It's very, I enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks, man. That's awesome.
So, and then you're in a fucking band called Suplex?
Yeah, we just had practice today. Yeah, like kind of a late 90s hardcore throwback band called Suplex.
And spell Suplex for me, please.
Siouxplex.
That is correct. You guys heard him. That is the fucking most ridiculous goddamn name I've ever heard.
Thanks, man.
So are you guys racist like TJ Oshie then?
Not racist at all. Definitely not racist like Oshie.
And then what? You are you still touring with Horseburner every now and again as well?
Yeah. Those guys, they call me up every once in a while. They need a bass player, and we just kind of hit the road for a weekend. Or we did a weekend maybe, I want to say, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. We just hung out in Maryland, hung out in, like, the middle of Pennsylvania. It was super weird, but a lot of fun.
Middle of Pennsylvania?
And then I think, yeah, dude, St. Clair.
Did you play for Amish people?
Well, see, the thing about Horseburner that rules is that, you know, they've got, like, double leads and stuff in their like, heavy metal songs, and, like, really all they have to do, I mean, like, the cool thing about playing with Horseburner is that Horseburner can play small towns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bridesmaid can't play a small town.
No, that would not fucking work.
No, like, if anybody shows up, they're going to leave immediately.
The great thing about Artillery Breath is if we show up in a city or a small town, people just fucking leave.
Nah, I've seen you guys play to some packed places, man.
You were at the show where I was puking all over the floor, and those kids were like,
we're just talking about that.
And those fucking kids were just sliding around in it.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, the show in Athens at Smiling Skull.
Yes, dude, I picked up that fucking random pitcher of beer off of some table, and it did not sit well in my fucking body, and it had to go.
I remember we didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to you.
No, dude, they had to get me out of there, dude. They had to get me the fuck out of there.
God, that's brutal.
I was fucking gonzo. And then how I met you, Scott, would have been Lacusta, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Back in the Lacusta days, absolutely.
And you put years in that band, right?
It was probably 5 or 6, something like that, by the end of it. I've never tallied it up, but yeah, probably 5 or 6 years.
And all these bands I've just mentioned, if you fucking pussies don't listen to it, I'm going to fist fight every single one of you. It's all really good. The Breakfast at Riffany's album, was that 2013? That was the album of the year that year, period. That thing was fucking a masterpiece.
I appreciate it.
Surf and Safari, I'd still like to bang my wife to it.
That's the best compliment we've ever gotten.
And then, Scott, I also want to say thank you. Again, I know I've thanked you before, but when we were in Tampa on tour with Battlemaster, you actually woke up in the morning and drove me to the Greyhound bus station so I could get home to take care of my my first baby. So that was very, very kind of you to wake up and to drive me to the bus station for my 38-hour bus ride back to Mansfield, Ohio.
I remember you were texting us a little bit on the way back, like, dude, Cody is still not home.
Dude, you guys were like, yeah, I'm in fucking New Orleans. I was like, I'm in fucking Georgia somewhere sitting here for 8 hours. All right, Scott, I don't want to hold you too long. I know you got to get up and go to the library or whatever. But, so, on the biscuit, I like to play fuck around. It's just 10 questions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
People say you play low, slow, and loud. Your thoughts?
I would agree with that about half the time. I think Bridesmaid got super, super bored with playing super fucking slow all the time, and so we started to play a little faster. So I'd halfway agree with that statement.
I would also halfway agree with that statement and my question. No, some of my favorite parts of Bridesmaid are the more, I would dare say, poppy shit on it. I like that.
I mean, honestly, Bridesmaid is a lot of the material is like an amalgamation of all the different stuff that we listen to because nobody in Bridesmaid listens to the same stuff.
Yeah, which is great.
So a lot of times, you know, there will be like this super doomy part and then we'll be like, man, like, how do we come out of that? And it's, you know, somehow the answer is like pop, you know, or the answer is like almost like a punk beat or something like that.
So. Dude, that's sick. We go, do you want to put a Metallica riff here or a Megadeth riff here? And then we just like drink a bunch of beer and then we got an album every 4 years.
Dude, I can't wait to hear the new stuff.
Oh, dude, it's super evil. You'll love it. It's fucking great. It's Artillery Breath at a very grim point, I think, in when we started to write it in all of our lives, you know, becoming older men and being in a death metal band and just having to like settle into that, and it's definitely different than Inhuman for sure. But it's also still artillery breath. Number two, Scott, you are a diehard Blue Jackets fan from day one, correct?
Diehard.
Were you a hockey fan before, or you a general hockey fan, or is it just Blue Jackets for you?
Honestly, you know, for a long time it was, for a long time it was the chill, to be totally honest, when I got into hockey. And then when Columbus got, you know, an NHL team, it was all about the NHL, all about, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets. But probably over the last several years, I've kind of gotten into the NHL as a whole and not just what's going on within Columbus. So, I kind of been watching games here and there whenever I can, regardless of, what team is playing. So
awesome. Now, when you say the chill, explain that to me and to the diehard Biscuit Babies listening.
I love the Biscuit Babies. the Columbus Chill was Columbus's ECHL, or I believe East Coast Hockey League team,
right?
That existed right before the Blue Jackets came in. And they were in Columbus, I want to say probably like 10 to 11 years, something like that.
Oh, holy fuck.
I didn't like them that whole time just because I was too young. But I don't know, I probably paid attention to probably the last four or five Chill seasons. And it was really sweet because I was playing as like a peewee and a midget and stuff like that when that happened. And the Chill players actually would hang out at the Chiller rinks around town. So you could actually like get to know people that were being paid to play hockey, and it was pretty sweet.
Especially as a kid, that's fucking like, you know, meeting Jesus.
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Now, how long did you play hockey for?
I probably played the league for like 4 years, 5 years, something like that, and then some before and some after. I was doing camps and drop-ins and stuff like that. So
now, when was the last time you were on some ice?
Ah, shit. Well, I will say this. It's probably been 31. It's probably been 15 years since I've been on the ice.
You should skate soon, buddy.
Dude, I just bought skates, like, literally 2 weekends ago. I was buying skates. We're doing this.
I want to get my friend Coop from Flint and a couple other dudes and go out to fucking Minnesota for the pond tournaments this fucking upcoming winter. I want to do it so bad.
That sounds fantastic.
You're coming. You're in.
Absolutely.
You're playing. All right. Next question, Scott. The next one was, how did you get started in it? But we kind of answered it in that one. So I'm just going to ask you, what is your favorite all-time sweater from a team?
Oh, shit. That's a really good question. Because I used to love sweaters. Growing up as a kid, and I owned a lot of weird alternate ones. Like, do you remember that weird Calgary jersey that had like the horse on the front of it? That was like,
yes, fire. That thing was fucking odd.
Yeah, dude, it was so weird, and I loved it.
Fuck yeah! Wait, for me, when I was little, my favorite one when I was little was Cleveland's team, the Lumberjacks. They had that fucking gnarly beaver with like a big blade behind him, dude. And I had like I had a tie dye sweater of that I would wear to the rink in town here, Belleville, where we would play hockey before it was banned because a kid took a fucking puck to the face.
Oh, God.
Dude, we'd play downtown Belleville. It's just a skating rink for, like, public skating, but we'd play fucking real pucks, slap shots, fucking... It got out of control. But it's still banned to this day. You can't play. And that was when I was in junior high. That was fucking 1974.
It wasn't quite that long ago.
No, so pick one. You want to go with the Calgary horse dude on the front?
No, I'm not going to go with the Calgary horse one just yet. I was also thinking, I don't know if you ever heard of this league, but there was a league called Pro Beach Hockey that existed for like 2 to 3 years, and it only existed in California, and this is probably like 15 years ago, I would say. And those were, if you ever look it up, I watched a YouTube video of a match that somebody had put up from 15 15 years ago, and it's real weird because it's outdoor roller hockey, and the sides and like behind the goal, it's like ramped, so it's super weird. But they, if you look up any of those teams, they had by far the grossest jerseys of all time. They were bizarre. But my favorite, oh, I'm trying to think. Honestly, I just love the way the old Minnesota North Stars colors went together. So I'm going to go with that.
There we go. That's a good choice. And thanks for dropping that knowledge on these fucking biscuit babies, too. These fucks don't know anything.
Dude, go look up Pro Beach Hockey. This shit is so weird.
Dude, I'm writing it down right now. I'm going to fucking look that shit up tonight. Pro Beach Hockey?
Yeah.
Was it just fucking, like, goons? Or, like, was it, like, surfer dudes?
You know, there were a couple guys in the Pro Beach Hockey League that had, like, professional experience in some of the lower leagues.
Oh, okay. That's fucking gnarly.
And they were just, like, yeah, they were just hanging out in California, and some millionaire was like, I think I'm going to start this thing. And for whatever reason, ESPN2 picked up, like, 2 seasons of it, so.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right, hold up 1 second, Scott. I got to grab my charger. I'll be right back.
Do it.
And we're back. We're back with Mr. Scott Hyatt of Bridesmaid. I'm just doing one. All right, Scott. So, last time I saw you, it's been a while, but you were looking pretty fucking jacked up, bud. You still lifting the weights there?
Thanks, man. You know, it's a... I haven't been doing a whole lot of lifting lately. I was super, super into it for a couple years there, and it kind of finally started to, like, show some results. And I don't know if it was just I think part of it's because, like, I switched all cardio stuff because my wife is a ultramarathon runner.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so it's been all, like, hiking and stuff like that, and so I haven't really kept up with the weightlifting, to be honest.
So, you've been married for less than a year, and she already turned you into a pussy.
Pretty much.
No, I was gonna say, I know it's not what the answer is going to be, but I was going to ask you, did you start drinking beer since you lift weights now?
No, I still didn't do that. I actually went even farther the other way, so I quit eating meat, so.
Oh, completely. Well, you know.
Yeah.
How's that going? Okay.
You know, I'm going to be totally honest, like, I feel a little bit better, like, my energy level is a little bit more, like, even throughout the day, whereas, you know, if I ate any kind of, like, red meat or anything in the middle of the day, like, I would just, like, feel like I needed to pass out or take a nap or something like that.
Right.
I am still eating fish for the time being, just because that helps the transition, but I hope at some point that I kind of phase that out, too.
What about eggs?
I am still doing the eggs, too, because right now I need the protein.
Right. Got to have that protein, dude.
Oh, yeah. And it would. I probably wouldn't have done it if I was still living, because I would have needed that much more. So.
Yeah, I eat fucking eggs constantly. Eggs and fucking prison push-ups.
I love it.
Oh, can I read? What the fuck does that say? Dude, what? I can read it now, dude. It's another lifting question. What was your fucking max bench, bro?
Oh, my max bench wasn't very good. I'm going to be totally honest. I could do... I think I got up to, like, one set of 5 reps at, like, 110 or something like that. Like, it was not impressive.
Dude, you're impressive. Do you know that?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Scott... Who would you say your favorite hockey player, any league of any time, would be?
See, I was thinking you were probably going to ask that question, and so I was trying to think of who that would be. And I'm going to give this answer, and it's not because of what happened at the All-Star game or anything like that. Like, I loved this guy before the last All-Star game, but I'm probably going to go with John Scott.
God damn it, Scott. God damn it. Well, this is the second game of fuck around ever, and that's the worst answer I've ever heard.
Well, there were some others in there. You know, like right when I got into hockey was kind of like Timu Solani's, explosion into the NHL. So I think growing up, Solani was always one of my favorite players.
Why John Scott? Before you answer, I will say this. Last year when he was voted in as captain to the All-Star game, I was like, man, that's fucking a joke. And then I was like, that's a goddamn joke. That's like voting in a fucking, like, when I was in high school, we did a fucking gnarly prank and we voted in this girl for prom queen, and it was mean, whatever. She won, and I have to live with it every day, all right? But it was like that to me until I watched the game, and I was like, you know what, it was fun for the game, and he did well, and you're not just a professional hockey player because you suck. I mean, the dude was a talented guy, and I really am fucking hoping that that movie does not get greenlit, though, because that's going to be such a dog shit piece of film.
Wait, are they going to make a movie about it?
Yeah, dude. A fucking John Scott fucking biopic.
Oh, no.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's going to be the worst piece of shit fucking movie since what I... Dude, I watched Gangs in New York the other day, and I had never seen it before. That movie fucking sucks. It's going to be as bad as that.
Well, here's what, like, really got me into John Scott. It actually wasn't really... like the enforcer in him. It was when I read the Players Tribune article that he wrote right after the whole All-Star thing started to happen. And he was kind of talking about how, like, growing up, it had always been his dream to play in the NHL as a kid, but he was never of, like, the skating, you know, like the premier skating ability or anything like that that people normally get drafted for. And he actually has a degree from Michigan Tech.
Oh yeah, which is a fucking crazy school.
Oh yeah, and he just fell into this hockey thing. Like, he was leaving the University of he was leaving Michigan Tech and got an offer to do play one season of minor league, and he just told his fiance, like, hey, just give me 1 or 2 years and let's see what we can do. And it was kind of like this, it was like this really kind of inspiring story about the two of them, like, really kind of like toughing it out and growing closer. And then, you know, he was called up to the NHL, and even though it wasn't for a role that, like, he wanted to be in, it was still, you know, his entry into, you know, his childhood dream. And so it was really kind of cool. And I always kind of liked him too, because as big of a goon as John Scott is, like, he never, like, headhunted anybody that wasn't down to fight.
You know? Right.
He was always, like, going after the other guy's, you know, enforcer, the other guy's goon. So you never really saw Scott throw any cheap shots against any players. He was there to, like, keep the rest of the team honest.
Yeah, that's a good point. And do you think, as him being such a cerebral human, that he knew that maybe chasing this childhood dream would be... it would be necessary for him to develop as the human that he wanted to turn into.
Oh yeah.
See, now that,
and I,
that's kind of fucking, I mean, my hat's off to him for that, to realize that and then to fucking do it and to find a woman to back him up while he, you know, cause that's not easy. But hey, I'm going to Michigan Tech, but, I'm going to go play minor hockey.
And I kind of, like, almost likened it, you know, not that this is the same thing in any way, shape, or form, but I kind of likened it to the approach of, like, being an independent musician almost, you know, because I could sit here and say, you know, nothing is ever going to happen, you know, with Bridesmaid. I'm never going to live off of this. But, you know, if somebody was kind of like, hey, if you want to play in my pop band that just signed to Warner Brothers, I'd probably be like, yeah, okay, I'm in, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
At least I would be. I don't know.
Dude, if somebody said, hey, if fucking Artillery Breath changes everything and we'll give you money, I'd say, yeah, okay. So what do you want us to, tell me what you want us to fuck and we'll do it.
Perfect.
But there is that part of, like, I think how you likened it to an independent musician, because it would be very easy to not do what we do, but there's just something in us that I have to create, that I have to be around people with that likeness, that understand what it has been like to be what we're 30 now, and to the last 10 years has been, you know, music, and now, you know, we're all starting families or getting married, but that music is still there. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of cool to see the way that it's kind of taken shape. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, the thoughts and ideas and driving forces behind Artillery Breath has probably changed throughout the years, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The way we had to look at everything is completely different. It used to just be like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. And now it's, you know, sit down, have discussion. Is it going to be good for everybody? Is it going to do this? It's as much as it has turned into a job, it's still not a job, but it's more fulfilling that way, I think.
Well, you feel like you kind of take more ownership in the whole thing at that point, you know?
Right? Right. And I'm definitely more aware that, like, for us to do this for, it'll be 10 years this spring. There's, you know, people that, I mean, there could be a kid in Germany that Artillery Breath means a shit ton to him, you know? And I think that makes it very worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely.
On another serious note, is a hot dog a sandwich?
You know, I'm going to say it is, because it's, you know, it in a lot of ways, it fits the main criteria for what most people consider a sandwich, which is, you know, some protein between, you know, two slabs of carbs, essentially. So I think I'm going to go with yeah.
Now, is a bun two slabs?
Well, that's a fair question. And then if, okay, so by that same thought process, if you stuff chicken salad or tuna salad into a hot dog bun, oof, is that a sandwich?
Fuck yeah, it totally is. Holy shit, that's a fucking game, that's a mind blower there, holy shit. Fuck.
I love it.
Oh, fuck. Scott, hit me with some plugs, man. What do you got coming up? What's going on with all 94 bands? What's going on in your life, man? Hit me with what's up. And if you want, you can give me your Twitter and stuff if you want these fucks to follow you or follow Bridesmaid, all that good shit.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, my Twitter isn't great, but I'm starting to ramp back up at it. It's going to get there. My username is actually Play Loud or Stop.
Yes. Yes, it is.
and Bridesmaid, you know, we put out the last record last fall, and
the International House of Mancakes.
Yeah.
And if you have not seen this artwork, this cover art, do yourself a favor and Google that now, because it is. Do you have to know you guys I think just seeing you're going to go, oh, okay, these guys are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think with this cover art, I think it's kind of accessible to all people.
It is one of the finest pieces of art ever made.
You know, that's actually it's actually a full size painting that an artist did here in Columbus.
Holy shit! Who has it? Did Bob buy it?
No, I think the artist still has it, and it's still for sale, and I think it's all kind of a race within Bridesmaid to try to come up with, like, $500 so that we can buy it off of the guy.
Yeah, you guys need to start a fucking give me money page or whatever. You guys have to get that.
Yeah, we need to start GoFundMe to decorate our living rooms.
Are there fucking four?
My wife will not stand for.
Yeah, for sure. That is fucking one-way street to Divorce City, dude. There's four of you fucks now in Bridesmaid?
Yeah, so we did this thing, we were a three-piece for years, two bass players and one drummer, and we did this thing, like our drummer was getting ready to move away, and so we did this thing, because we had a new drummer picked out, and we had invited him to practice so that, you know, he could start to get stuff down and see, you know, what it was that Corey was playing. And he ended up just playing over top of it. We played with two Drempfers, and we did a short tour with that right before Corey left the band, and then it was kind of like, I guess we got to find a second drummer. This is the only way that this shit gets any more ridiculous is if we have a second drummer.
So it's fucking right now, two drummers and two bass players?
Yeah, it's two drummers, two bass players now, yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
And it was kind of cool the way the whole thing happened. Like, Corey left, and we had Ricky and Bame, and then Corey actually ended up coming back, and Ricky was kind of like, hey, you know, I kind of need to reduce the number of bands that I'm in, because Columbus is so incestuous as far as independent musicians are concerned. Everybody's in kind of like three or four bands, so we actually got Corey back, and so now it's the original threesome plus Bame, so it's pretty sweet.
Awesome. You guys got any shows coming up?
Say what?
You guys have any gigs coming up? Shows?
We got one coming up here on March 16th. We're at Space Bar with our friends from Cavern. It's a really awesome instrumental band from West Virginia. Or, I'm sorry, they're from Maryland. So that'll be fun. Super Hardcore Band is playing March 10th. Also at Space Bar. That's going to be a good time. The Cool is starting to do a bit more stuff. We got a show up in Canton on March 31st.
Oh, nice.
And then, we're going to start demoing material at Capital University, actually, here at the beginning of April. I think the thought process behind Akula is kind of more of almost a professional one, where we're going to, you know, go into a studio and demo material, take it back out, listen to it, go back into a different studio and try to record a record before the year's over.
Oh, wow. Well, that's fucking exciting. That's going to be one hell of a record, too. I think that band is has a very... my ears enjoy it. It's not hard for me to swallow. It's fun. You guys are it's a lot of talent oozing, which could get lost easily, but I think you guys all do your part very well, and I think it's a very good stew.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'll send you the demos as soon as we do them this April.
Yes, please do. Make sure I get those. Scott, one last question. Do you listen to The Biscuit?
I'm going to be totally honest, I haven't had a chance to listen to it.
I'm off. Yet. I'm hanging up. Bye. That's what happens, motherfuckers. When you don't listen to The Biscuit, you get the fuck mixed out. No, thank you so much, Scott. Absolutely a pleasure having you on. You're the fucking man, dude. Let's get into the trade news. We're at 42. Oh, shit! Fucking ripped it, dude. Oh. I want to get through some of these trades here. We'll do some winners, losers. We'll start with CBJ, baby. Coming out of the fucking bye week. Hot as a motherfucker. Beating the Islanders 7-0. Rangers 5-2. Fuck you, Rangers, baby. You ain't having third place. But I think that helps the Rangers out, because that sends them to fucking the Atlantic to play the Habs, and I think they beat the dog shit out of the Habs, which leads me to the 0-1 overtime loss to the Habs, and my fuck boy of the week, Pacioretty, you whiny little cunt, you're the new Sidney Crosby, fuck you, fuck your team, that wasn't a goal, then the fucking refs get all Habs sad, give them the fucking penalty, and you're not coming back from a fucking... 4-3 power play in overtime. Doesn't happen. I don't see it a lot. Also, speaking of Montreal, they got Steve Ott from the Red Wings for a 6th-round pick in 2018. I'm going to say that's a loss for the Wings. I thought Ott fit in there well. I enjoyed watching him play. That was until I saw the highlights for, is it McLareth? McLareth for Vanek. This dude is nicknamed the Undertaker, and he'll fucking go. So I'm going to say the Wings are going to make out, and they got a shit ton of fucking picks. And the wife brought up a good point that when they were fucking powerhouse, they made it from picks, dude. They weren't making them from trades. It's not like the All-Star team they had in, what was that, 02 or whatever, when they won. The Blue Jackets picked up Lori Korpikoski from Dallas for Dylan Hetherington. Hetherington's a prospect. I really like this trade. I think both teams win on this one. I'm very, very, very excited to see Korpikoski play. We needed the depth. I think that's a great pickup. I was very, very sad to see Dalton Prout go to New Jersey. I'm not a fucking fan of Kyle Quincy at all. I never have been. I hope he proves me wrong. I hate his fucking beard. I did like that he was always kind of a cunt bag when we would play him. When he was with the Red Wings. And Prowler wasn't playing, so maybe it's good for him to move on. I'm just sad about it. He's here for a while. He's a good dude. And I don't like Quincy. But I gotta give him a chance. He's on the team now. I think the biggest news is Shattenkirk going to the Capitals. I think the Capitals 100% go to the Cup from the East. My prediction is Columbus beats Pittsburgh. Capitals beat whoever they play. Capitals handedly beat Columbus to face, you know, maybe the fucking Rangers. Could happen. Capitals go to the Cup, lose to the Sharks. There you have it. If the Sharks win it, that gives, Vancouver a first round pick for their trade of, Yannick Hansen to the Sharks for, Nikolai Gobadin. Vancouver also got rid of Alex Burrows to Ottawa, and, Ottawa's looking pretty fucking legit. Craig Anderson's back. They just made some fucking sick trades, dude. Watch out for Ottawa. I'd be more afraid to play Ottawa than I would Montreal, to be honest with you. And it looks like Boston's going to have to play Ottawa. Fuck Boston. Toronto gets Fur and Oleski for some picks. And a 17th. A fourth round pick in 17 for Corrado. Pittsburgh went out and got Corrado and homeboy from Philly who got traded there. What's his name? Street, right? Oh, you got to get fucking... Yzerman's a beast, dude. So Yzerman sent Boyle to Toronto for Byron Frossy. Huh? And a second round pick? Dude, he's God. Because then he moved Filippula's $5 million cap hit to Philly for straight. Then sent that pussy to Pittsburgh for a fourth round pick. And if he didn't get rid of Filippula, or however you say that fuck's name, he had a no move clause. So that meant he wouldn't be able, he'd have to protect him for Vegas for next year. Which means he would leave a younger, fucking more promising player open for Vegas to take. This is where Vegas is coming into play in a lot of this shit. I think Vegas also comes into play on... The biggest surprise to me was Bishop going to L.A. For Budaj. Why the fuck you would get rid of Budaj? I'm a loss for words for that one. He's got better numbers this year than career-wise for... Jonathan Quick and Ben Bishop. Obviously, it's just 1 year, but dude's got 7 shutouts this season too. I think it was a move to get the security for this year. Bishop's going to Vegas. Period. He's going to be their first pick. Have fun in Vegas. He'll report. He'll do fine. Vegas is going to be pretty goddamn good if you get Ben Bishop. The other biggest surprise I thought was the Avalanche not really doing shit. Thank God they fucking moved to Ginla. I'm happy for him. I really would have liked to see Ginla go back to Calgary. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't in Calgary's cards, but Ginla ends up in LA for a fourth round pick. That's a huge one for him. I'm not a Kings fan, but I'm a Ginla fan, so I wish him the best of luck. But I don't wish that team the best of luck. But Duchesne and Landeskog not being moved. Colorado, what the fuck are you doing? What's the game plan here, boys? Nothing? Yeah, not good. Not good. That's sad. Hansel and White to Minnesota. Arizona end up getting a second round pick in 17, a first round pick in 17, a second round pick in 18, and a conditional pick in 19, fourth round pick, which can change as for how well Minnesota does in the playoffs this year. Getting Hansel and White, Hansel's gonna be on your third or fourth line. Holy dick sucker, dude. That's a ripper, bud. And somebody give goddamn Halak a job. He is killing it in the AHL. I don't know why Islanders didn't move him. I think they're fucking trying to get him to quit. But that's not going to happen. And people are really upset that Arizona didn't trade Shane Doan. Maybe he doesn't want to leave. Maybe he wants to retire for one team. Maybe he likes Arizona. Quit hating the organization. Quit hating him. It's 10:15 at night. I gotta wrap this up. We'll get the stats. Points, McJesus, 72. Goals, Sydney, 34. Assists, McJesus, 51. Plus minus, Suda, plus 35. Insane. Goals against average, Holt Beast, 1.95. Save percentage, Doob, 0.932. Wins, Doob, 34. Shutouts, Holt Beast, 7. Budai, 7. Fighting Majors, Bull, 13. The biscuit. Please go rate and review us at iTunes. 5 stars, please. Don't be a fuck. And I didn't say faggot until right now. Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.
That was Surfing Safari by Bridesmaid off their 2013 Breakfast at Riffany's. Suck it, babies.